Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Chaf Bet Amud Aleph, that's 22a, and we are about 11 lines down at the two dots. What we've been talking about is the merging of Shiva. If a person comes from a close place, that is a place within a day's journey, and finds that his family is sitting Shiva for a loved one for whom he's supposed to sit Shiva too, does he join their Shiva or not? In other words, does he have to start counting 7 days from the moment he arrives and finds out his relative has passed away? Or does he count along with his family who's already sitting Shiva? So the Tanna Kamma said that as long as he arrives within the first 3 days, he counts along with them. And if he arrives after the first 3 days, then he counts on his own. But Rabbi Shimon says that even if he arrives on the seventh day, that he may still count with them. In other words, he would count a very short Shiva period along with the rest of his family. And that's what we're looking at now. At the two dots, we quote the Braita. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Afilu ba biyom hashvi, even if he came on the seventh day, mimakom karov, as long as it's from a close place, a place that's within a day's journey away, monet imahen, then he counts with his family who's already sitting Shiva. Amar Rabbi Chia bar Gamda, Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, Amar Rabbi. These other rabbis say in the name of Rabbi, Vehu, this is assuming, Shaba umatza menachamin etzlo, that when he arrives on the seventh day, that he's still sitting Shiva. And how can you tell he's still sitting Shiva? That there are still visitors in his home who are coming to console him. By Rav Anan asked about this conclusion. Nena'aru lamod, what if the last consolers have getting up, they're rising to their feet in order to leave. Velo amdu, but they haven't 100% stood up yet, meaning they are getting ready to leave. Mahu, does that still count as Menachemim still there? And he says, we're not sure. We leave it in doubt. We leave it for Eliyahu to come decide. Since we follow the lenient opinion in Avilut, he would be able to count along with them. But certainly if he arrives after they've already, so to speak, gotten up from Shiva, that would not count. He would have to count his own, he would have to start his own Shiva period from that day. That day would be his first day. Okay, now the question is, who do we paskin by? Do we paskin like the Tanna Kamma, that you have to arrive in the first 3 days, or like Rabbi Shimon, that even if you arrive on the seventh day, that you can still merge your Shiva with your family? Gemire Chavrei de Rabbi Abba Bar Chia, the friend of Rabbi Abba Bar Chia learned, Gemara Gemire, he learned logically, Mei Rabbi Abba, from Rabbi Abba, Umanu, and who was this friend? Rabbi Zeira, it was Rabbi Zeira. And Va'amri La, and some people say have this tradition in a slightly different, from a slightly different source, Chavri de Rabbi Zeira, Mebri Zeira, that it was the friend of Rabbi Zeira who learned it from Rabbi Zeira, Umanu, who was the friend of Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Abba, Bre, Rabbi Chiba, Bar Abba. And no matter how you learn it, it's Amar Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he's the original source of this teaching. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel b'treifot, v'halacha k'Rabbi Shimon b'avel. So we have such a tradition. We'll take the second part first. The halacha k'Rabbi Shimon b'avel means that even if he arrives on the seventh day, that he can count his, he can merge his Shiva with his family. It's not that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon in all of Avelut. In this particular case of Avelut, we paskin like him. And then there's another case where we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel in Trefo. So the Gemara already has dealt with our case, so they begin with the case of Trefo. Rabbi Shimon ba'avel hada amran, like Rabbi Shimon in Avel, as we have just discussed. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel b'treifot, when we say it's like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel in treifot ditnan, as we learn in the Mishnah, this is a very difficult and obscure area of halacha, treifot, what constitutes a wound or a defect in an animal that makes it not kosher. So in this case, b'nei me'ayim shenikvu, if an animal has intestines that are punctured, there's a hole in the intestine. So after you shech the animal, you can check to see if the intestines are whole. You can fill them with water or air and see if there's a puncture. So in this case, the intestine is punctured. However, v'lecha sotamtan, but there is mucus or some kind of moisture, some fatty substance that seals up the hole. so that the intestine is at least temporarily sealed, it's intact. Kshera, the animal is kosher. That's what, that is Divrei, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. He's lenient in this case where even though there is a trefa, there's a hole in the intestines, as long as it's temporarily sealed, he considers the animal to be a kosher animal. My lecha, what is this mucus, this moisture, this thick liquid? Amar Rav Kahana, Shirka Demeaya. It is some kind of fatty goop, mucus, in other words, of the intestines, dinafik, that will come out, agav duchka, with pressure. That is, that if you were to squeeze the intestine, the mucus would be cleared and you'd have a hole. In other words, it's a very light seal. It's not a hard seal. It's not as if it's a fully intact intestine. It's just a temporary seal. So if you were to squeeze it, it would pop out. So that's why it's a machloket as to whether or not it counts as being an intact intestine or not. Amar Mandahu. So someone who was listening to this teaching said, we don't know who it was, but some certain student there said in a wistful sort of way, Izki, I wish I would be zoche, that's the word, I wish I would be zoche v'asik the Agmara l'shmaita mipume demare, that I would be able to go and learn this teaching directly from the mouth of the master. And so the question is why he needs to say this and why the Gemara needs to report it. So it could be because it's a difficult topic and it has a lot of potential details, very fine details, and he wishes that he could be there so he could ask the master follow-up questions. What in this case? What about this case? What about this case? Or it could be that he wants to see it. He wants the master to show him exactly what does it look like when you have a punctured intestine that's covered by mucus, and the master could show him, and it's something that he would then be able to understand better. Or possibly, based on the end of the story, he's a little doubtful about this teaching, and he wishes that he could hear it directly from the master to make sure that it's accurate. And that makes sense according to the follow-up, the conclusion of the story. Kisalik, when he went up to Bavel, Ashkechei l'Rabbi Abba, he found Rabbi Abba, Bered Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, who was the son of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Leh, and he said to him, Amar Mar, Halacha K'Rav Shemim Gamliel B'Trefot. He said, I have a teaching that I learned from Mar, which is interesting because Mar was not one of the authorities who was mentioned above, but in any case, it's the same. It's basically the same authority. He said, "I learned in my yeshiva that the halachas like Rav Shimon Gamliel betrefot, you know, that if the mucus covers the hole, that the animal is kshera, and that he was, and this we're assuming that Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was the original source of the teaching. So he wanted to know. It sounds like he's asking, is it accurate or not? Amar le, ana." Ein halacha amri. We say the halacha is not like ein halacha amri. We say the halacha is not like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And it's one of those things where the difference between halacha Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and ein halacha Rav Shimon ben Gamliel depends on whether or not you're listening carefully to the first word of the sentence, or whether the first word of the sentence gets, it's a little too similar. If it were me, I would say we needed two different ways to express it that are not so similar. So somehow or other, the teaching got garbled or miscommunicated, and we're saying the halacha is not like that. That in fact, an animal with a punctured intestine, even if its hole is covered by mucus, is a trefa. So as long as he's asking him, he asks him the second question as well. Rabbi Shimon bit Avel Mai. What about Rabbi Shimon with Avel when the mourner arrives on the seventh day? Does he merge his Avelu with his family members who have already been sitting? Amar Leh, he says to him, Plugta Ninhu. We have a disagreement about this. So both teachings were incorrect. In one case, it was 100% incorrect. In the other case, it was only suffik. He's saying it's a plugta, it's a disagreement, and it has not been resolved. The Itmar of Chista, because it is said in the name of Rav Chisda, who says, Amar, halacha, that the halacha is like him. V'chein, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha. And so too, Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is like him. Rabbi Nachman Omer, Rabbi Nachman says, ain halacha, that the halacha is not like him. The ain halacha k'r b'shimim gamliel b'trefot. And the final conclusion is, and this is what this is what the Gemara concludes, the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in Trefot, as we said above. The halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ba'avel, but the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon in Avel. Why? The Amar Shmuel, because as Shmuel said, halacha k'divrei ha-mekel ba'avel. We always follow, or we generally follow, the opinion of the lenient opinion in mourning. So in this case, instead of requiring him stringently to sit his own 7 days of Shiva, we allow him to join his family on the seventh day as long as he arrives before they've gotten up from Shiva. So that is the final conclusion. So the student, whoever he was, the anonymous student, was right to go back to the original source and clarify the teachings, because the teachings that they had received were not the correct teachings. And the final halacha, as we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, is that in a case where all the factors are true, that is, he's coming from a place that's within a day's travel, he did not know about the death previously, and he arrives before the consolers have left or before the mourners have gotten up from Shiva, so to speak, in that situation, his Shiva would only last as long as his family members, even if that was only a few minutes, and then he would continue to count starting the eighth day of Shloshim along with the rest of his family. We're going to go a little bit further, actually. We're going to do one more piece here before we stop. We're now switching back to cases that distinguish between other mourners, the other people for whom you mourn, son, daughter, brother, sister, and spouse, and mourning for one's mother or father. So the Gemara says, we're three lines up from the bottom, al kol hametim, for all other deceased relatives that you have to sit Shiva for, kulan madche mitato, we push their biers. In other words, we expedite the funeral. We don't spend a lot of time doing eulogies, but we try to bury them as quickly as possible. It's not clear if this refers to getting them to the cemetery as quickly as possible, in other words, not waiting for days for relatives to arrive, or if it means that the service of hespedim and eulogies should not take so long. But in general, we want to show honor to the dead it says, madcha mitato, we push their biers, their beds, there it wasn't coffins, but on where the deceased was lying. Hare ze meshubach, it is praiseworthy, because it is more respectful to the dead to bury them quickly to show kavod hamet than it is to show kavod hamet by leaving the bodies unburied and making eulogies. However, al avi v'al imo, for his father and his mother, hare ze meguna, it is deplorable. Now, it's not 100% clear why, but perhaps are saying that for a mother and a father, it's more respectful to them to give more eulogies than it is to bury them quickly. But I don't know why that would be the case. Perhaps it's because it looks like you're rushing them into the grave so you can start and be done with the Shiva. You want to get the Shiva over with as quickly as possible. And maybe that's why it seems disrespectful to one's mother and father. But then that would also seem disrespectful to the other relatives as well. So I'm not sure why there is such a distinction. But the Braita continues, Haya Erev Shabbat or Erev Yom Tov, but if you were burying them right before Shabbat or right before a holiday, Harizah Meshubach, then it is Meshubach, it is praiseworthy. She'eno Ose Ela Lichvod Aviv Imo, he's only doing it in order for the honor of his father and his mother, so that they should be able to be buried before Yom Tov and the body won't have to lie out over Shabbat or Yom Tov. That takes us to the bottom line. We'll stop there and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.